July 22nd, 2015, it's Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Brother Matt, how are you?
Yeah, everything's good.
We had a good time at the House of Blues.
That was awesome.
Believe it or not, people, that can happen. Not for long, though, because they're tearing it down for a condo, you know. But Meat Puppets played, and we're kicking up much dust.
Yeah, they did great.
And special Up on the Sun version with Aided and Abetted by Mr. Jack Black.
Special
dance. Little interpretive move. Yeah, it was wild. And was cool. Some harmonies.
Yeah, that was cool BSing with those guys.
And now they got the son, Kurt's son, their four-piece now.
Elmo. Huh.
So, and then this young guy on drums, Shannon.
Yeah.
No more Derek.
Yeah, no. There was a guy in between named Ted. This guy, his pop was in Sir Douglas Quintet.
Yeah.
People... You're hearing our guest.
I'm creeping in.
All the way from the desert, Scott Reeder.
How you
welcome
doing?
Aboard. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Pedro.
Awesome
welcome
to be
to
here.
The Love Grotto.
Is that first trip to Pedro?
Ever?
Ever.
Wow, okay. He's rookie. Hey, rookie. Then we're putting in a new pool, and we got to call it the Hey, Rookie Pool. Because I guess some dudes, this was during the Second World War, and they would lie about not knowing how to swim. So they just throw you in, and they could, you didn't have to worry about telling them the truth. Right? Someone once told me, if you don't lie, you don't have to remember. Something like that. Yeah. Just toss you in the fucking pool. So thanks for getting tossed into Pedro and coming down and being on the show.
Right.
Incredible
on.
Bass man and brother bass man, me.
Learn from the best. This guy right here.
Smoking. And he, good people, he brought it, and he's going to collaborate with Brother Matt next hour on the spin cycle.
Yeah.
Anyway, we started with Jarvis Coltrane doing Ogunda. And then across the river, with White Man's Dream, now across the river, that's an early band. But we're going to go earlier than that. Scott, can you tell me your first music memory?
My first music memories are with my grandpa. He was a jazz guitar player.
Oh, wow. And so you got music in your family.
Yeah. Every one of my grandparents were musicians.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Two of them were in the church. My grandma would play organ and piano in the church. Yeah. My grandpa was a preacher, and he would play this scratchy saw with a violin.
Saw. Oh, cool.
Then my other set of grandparents were atheists, jazz mongers. And they would have parties at their house. Like on Christmas, all his friends would come over. There was a bass player, Sid Fridkin, and I was little. I was like 3 or 4. And I would curl up under his chair right in front of his amp and, like, soak up those bass, the bass.
Oh, they had, like, living room jams?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a room full of people
back,
singing.
3, 4 years old, you remember this?
Yeah.
Great. Wow. Well, from there, did you start playing on an instrument, or did you get records first?
I got into the Beatles.
Okay.
I think when I was 4 or 5, no, I was probably 4, for Christmas I got the Sesame Street record and the Beatles Revolver.
Revolver.
And that's what drew me into everything from recording techniques. And I started playing drums on a cardboard box set that I'd made. And
so that's the first thing you played was drums?
Yeah.
And I got why drums?
I was into Ringo.
Oh, yeah.
Just...
Sure.
Wanted to grow my hair long.
And you made a kit.
Yeah. I had an old bullet shell from World War I that my great-grandpa gave me, and that was like one of the things to bang on. There was a trash can on one side.
Was
that
the symbol?
Yeah.
ding.
And then when I was 5, my parents gave me my first drum set.
Shit, and this all before school.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you had a little trap kit.
Yep. My mom would take me down to some bar downtown Banning and drag my drum set through the bar in the afternoon. People would be tripping.
Banning, you know Banning.
Yeah.
You know, this town next to us is called Wilmington.
Yeah.
And we're part of L.A., so are they. We share the west part of the harbor with Long Beach. And the guy who built Wilmington was Phineas Banning.
That's
the
guy.
His stagecoaches used to go out to that town.
Yeah, we were on the stagecoach route.
So you went out there, and she'd bring you there?
Yeah.
And you'd be jamming?
It was this bar. It was either the Red Bull or the 8 Ball or something like that. Yeah. And I would drag my stuff into the back room. And there was this kid from school that my mom knew, Tom Harrell.
Yeah.
And we'd set up across from each other, and he'd show me these funky beats. I mean, this is like early 70s.
Oh, and he's teaching you drums.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. I started playing in school band.
You learned how to play drums from lessons at a bar.
Yeah, when I was 5.
When you're 5.
Light years ahead of my education in music. Wow. So when school starts,
I wanted to play drums.
Tell kids at the school.
Yeah,
you want to do drums, so but you're like you're telling the kindergarten teacher, I want
to. Well, didn't start till junior high in the school band, and there were too many drummers.
Right, because grade school we don't really have music classes.
Yeah, so the band director gave me an ear test. He'd play a melody on the piano, and I'd sing it back to him. And he said, "With your ear, you're going to either play trombone or French horn."
Wow.
I didn't want to play French horn, so I picked up the trombone.
There's already too many dudes playing drums, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, sorry.
All
right. I'm doing the radio show. Ma, I'm doing the radio show. You want me to get you some burritos? Okay. Guanajuato. Yeah, today's Mercoles. I can go get it. Okay. But I got to do, I'm doing the show. I'm on the air, Ma. Okay, bye.
Great.
And burrito day. Yeah, because this is some fucking happening. Cardia's burritos are on Wednesday. They're only $3.50. So
nice.
You know, Econo goes back before the Minuteman. So let's play some music.
Oh, tone, hi-hat, solitary advocate. Story.
Pedro show. We just heard Caius doing One Inch Man live. I think it was in Italy.
Wow. Might have been the last show.
Really?
That's where the last one was. Okay. Reggio D'Amelio in 1995.
Football, like Smoke Signals was the name of the show in Italian.
Yeah, that was some live TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last gig.
No. It was a couple months after that. Sorry.
Okay. Near the end.
Yeah.
And DNA, New Fast. I think that's the only album they did. Deer Hoof, Tiny Bubbles. Don Corus, Boards Canada. Elmute, new album. The tune My Policeman's an Addict. Many Birthdays, brand new. Out of Austin, Bird Flight to Uncertainty. Tobacco with some new instrumental, El Camino 2. Super Chunk, Trees of Barcelona. Mac was telling me this was part of an opera he did. So I've been playing a bunch of it. Brand new from Cuz, Bad Veronica. Cuz has a tour coming April 18th. No, it isn't. August 27th to September 12th. Go to MikeWatt.com. See about that. And finally, Scott Reeder with As We Become. Okay, so we're in school, and you got the righteous ear, and you get tapped to do French horn, like John.
Trombone.
Or
the bone. Or French horn, yeah.
Or the French horn.
Yeah.
You went for the bone? Because bone is a bass clef.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize I was going to be switching to bass at any time soon.
Okay, but...
But I went through, like, marching band and orchestra and all that stuff.
I heard bone was good in the marching band because it had a big mouthpiece. It was in French horn, I heard, was really tough. Tiny mouthpiece, and you got to, like...
Yeah.
When you're walking... But, you know, Aunt Whistle did French horn. In fact, some songs, like Pictures of Lily, has a fucking French horn solo.
Wow.
And, so what was that? Well, you had to learn to read.
Yeah.
Before that, you didn't read, right?
At
home, you were just jamming.
Right.
Okay. So, and you conquered that. Did you move around? What'd you go for?
What do you mean?
Did he pick? Well, he gave you a choice of the two.
I went for trombone.
You went for the bone.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, played throughout junior high school, and then I went to UCLA and played in the marching band there.
Bruin.
Yep. And then that first year, that first summer, we played in the Olympic opening ceremonies.
Wow.
TV audience of 2.5 billion people.
1984.
Yeah.
Because I remember we did a tour, us Minutemen, to get out of town.
Oh, it was crazy. LA was just fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know about Olympics coming to your town, man. Yeah. It's kind of a little crowded.
Yeah.
But that's badass you got to play for that event.
Man, that was insane just to be a part of that.
Yeah. Okay. This is a school band.
Yeah.
Did you give up on drums?
No. Okay. In the middle of high school, I was playing in a couple of punk bands. Subservice with Mike Bates. I don't know if you know that guy.
Okay.
Later, he was in Uniform Choice.
Yeah.
That was named after one of our songs.
Oh, wow.
After he left, we started a band called Dead Issue. It was called Dark Side. We did a song for Desperate Teenage Love Dolls.
Yeah, which is Dave Markey.
Yep. And we were kind of hanging out with those guys, Markey, Jordan Schwartz.
Sure.
When I first moved out there. My bandmates all moved out to L.A. too.
So basically, left the desert for what more connects with music,
Yeah, so we started
playing. Mario was out there.
Yeah.
Right?
He was in that band, Dead Issue.
God, what was the name? Bruise?
Some kind of Rhythm and Bruise. Yep. That was a great place. It didn't last very long.
No. It was like in a strip mall or something out there?
It was way out in Indio.
In Indio.
Yeah, just along the highway.
It was one of the places you could play, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody just gave me a flyer a couple of days ago with the roster from back in those days, and like every band was insane. It was like the Melvins, and Greg Ginn was playing, and Caius, and you know, everybody was popping in there.
Rhythm and Bruise.
Yeah.
That was his pad, Brother Matt, out in Indio. He started playing. He's talking about these bands he started with. That wasn't the school band. Because you're the drummer man in these.
Yeah, in Dead Issue, I was the drummer. And then our bass player had to quit. Yeah, our bass player quit. And that was probably like 81, 82. And we couldn't find another bass player that was into punk rock. But we found Alfredo, the drummer. And Alfredo Hernandez, who was later in Caius and Queens of the Stone Age, across the river. And so I started playing bass, and remember when I first started playing drums in bands, I was handed a stack of records. It's like the Adolescents and Black Flag, the Decline. And I kind of started playing bass along with the same kind of stuff.
So you learned by playing the records?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I learned.
TSOL, I think Weathered Statues was probably out about that time when I started playing bass. And I had a Rickenbacker. I was into Mike Roach.
Yeah, right.
And we'd already gotten into the Minutemen, of course. And your stuff was too hard.
Was, the Mita. Our stuff was too hard. Too short. Not enough copy. One part. So, yeah. Oh, man, they went to the next part already.
But we saw you guys.
Before the Lupin software.
We saw you guys all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, well, we tried to play everywhere we could. It was hard to get out that way.
Yeah.
Or even in LA.
Well, we were trekking out to LA.
So you would make the journey.
Oh, someday. Yeah.
Because we did play a lot. Those days, there was a lot of Hollywood, brother man. Mm. In fact, most of it was Hollywood.
Yeah, we were going to the Olympic Auditorium shows.
Sure, and, right. Stardust Ballroom.
Yeah. I found this morning. I told you about this when we were on the road together, 10 years ago or whatever it was. A set list from the Minutemen.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember the name of the club, but
it's my fucking.
Cool.
That you're writing?
It's my writing.
And it might be D. Boone's footprints on that. It was on his side of the stage.
No, it's D. Boone's writing. It's D. Boone's writing.
This is one of my most prized possessions right here.
Because I would have for sure put the Gloria Man.
Crazy.
D. Boone just put Gloria Man. That's D. Boone's writing.
Wow.
I don't know why I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, it was some small club. From what I remember... Husker Du played, I think.
Oh, Mi Casitas.
Yeah.
It was here in Torrance.
Yeah.
Where PCH turns north. It was a pad.
I think Worm might have played.
Dukowski.
And...
We saw Chuck at the gig Monday.
He was there also.
Red shirt.
Yeah, he had the red outfit.
And I think the Dicks were on the bill, too. It was a pretty small place. Yeah.
Wow. I think it was this place called Mi Casitas.
Yeah, I think that's right.
House. So you were learning by going to the shows and seeing you were learning by the records, but you didn't really have a bass, dude. You didn't go to the bar to take bass lessons.
No. God, I'm trying to think of my first concerts. The first concert I went to was Cheap Trick in 1980.
Okay.
The second one was Moving Pictures by Rush.
And so then these aren't clubs.
Then my third show was Black Flag, and that's...
What pad?
Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's Nest.
It was Henry's first show with...
Hank's... Yeah, okay.
Wasted Youth play and Circle One.
Yeah.
And that changed my life.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. So that was a healthy classroom.
Yeah.
So you got into the bass, and Rick was...
Yeah, that was about when I first started playing bass, a little before.
So what happened after that? Are you the bass player in the band?
Just started practicing as much as I could and struggling to get better and better.
Did you stop drums?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Still did bone in school.
Yeah.
So that's bass clef shit.
Yeah. After the Olympics, a lot of people...
That's why you know, he's got a lot of slur in his style. A
lot of slides.
And that's the bone, all the microtone.
Yep.
Shit, makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, I was recording some bass player, and he said, what would Scott Reeder do on this part? I said,
glisses or glissandos?
Yeah. This guy asked me, what would Scott Reeder do on that part? I said, well, I'd play this note, then instead of going down a half step, I'd go all the way up, you know.
Total bone move.
Yep.
Well, how did you do? Did you swing with the left hand, because you're left-handed?
It was swinging with the right.
It was with the right?
Yeah.
Okay, but when it came to the bass, you did
it. Yeah, my grandpa played right-handed, and my dad played right-handed, but I would just flip their stuff over.
Yeah.
And that's why the fat strings at the
bottom.
That's
why you didn't restring.
Yeah, I couldn't say, hey, Grandpa.
He plays the other side, but he didn't restring. I think Albert King did that. Or Albert Collin.
Dick Dale plays the same way on guitar.
Yeah, he does too. Was it King or Collin? This dude didn't restring his either. Has the low on the bottom.
Yeah.
Iceman.
So I can't do all that fancy popping stuff or anything.
Albert Collins had the capo all the time.
Oh, this guy played a flying V.
Oh, that was Albert King.
Albert King.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was bad, but they're all bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
Albert
King.
It takes a lot of ways. I mean, if you don't see the shit happening anyway, you don't know.
Yeah.
But it does make a diff.
So you still play some trombone?
Just to scare the dogs.
You ever record with it?
No, I need to. One of these days.
Yeah.
I'm going to get stoned and just... I'm going to do it.
J.J. Johnson, there's a bone album that Coltrane played on.
There's a video clip on YouTube, I think, of some dude playing trombone for the cows. There's a whole herd of cows. They come around.
Wow.
Yeah, it's trippy. They dug it.
It's in their zone.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so how long does this band last?
Dead Issue.
Yeah, Dead Issue.
Oh, maybe four years?
Because this song we played at the beginning of the show, Cross the River.
Yeah, okay. We lost our singer, Herb, for whatever reasons, and... So it was me, Mario Lali, and Alfredo Hernandez left. And we got this kid, Mark Anderson, who was 15 at the time.
Wow.
And we started jamming. And we were really still learning our instruments and
sure.
trying to get better. And Mario's brother was turning us on to stuff like Sabbath and Mountain. And we were still listening to our punk rock. But we were trying to get into jamming more. And
instead of the short song thing.
Yeah. And I can't speak for the others, but I was getting into acid and mushrooms, and we would like to go out in the desert. And Dave Travis had turned us on to the generator thing, played a few parties with him. So
Dave Travis, yeah. Cafe Nella.
Yeah. So Mario finally got a hold of a generator, and we would just go out. It wasn't like we're throwing a party. We would just go out in the desert to jam under the stars. And I took mushrooms whenever I could, and we would just like play all night. Until the sun
so it's like the musical change in the direction.
Yeah.
Or direction change in the music.
Yeah, kind of going from pretty right. straight punk rock into stretching out and playing slow. And
this is Across the River.
Yeah.
But then it gets to Caius.
Yeah. Well, Across the River kind of fizzled. I moved out when I got together with my future wife, Renee.
Yeah.
And she had a dog, pit bull, and it was tearing up the carpet in the Quinta house where we lived. So I was like, man, we got to get our own place. And things kind of fell apart at that point. We were so close-knit. I mean, Mario, to this day, is probably the closest musical relationship I've ever had. You know, we had, like, this psychic thing. We were just...
Is he still at MCM Madre with that cafe?
Yeah.
I could play there.
Yeah, he's on the road a lot. He's doing the Fatso Jetson.
Yeah. Torn a lot, okay.
Yeah, and Yawning Man.
So the Caius comes out because that fell apart a little.
Yeah, Across the River was out of the picture. I moved to L.A. in 87, right after we got married. And I ended up hooking up with Wino from St. Vitus.
He's a D.C. guy, actually.
Yeah. And we had jammed at one of these generator parties out in Ventura. The day, well, it was right before the generator party where I think it was Firehose's first show. Live at County Line, do you remember that?
County Line, one of the first ones. The first one was actually in Pedro, but that was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was out in Ventura, in the middle of nowhere.
Right by the beach.
Yeah, where the County Line was.
Yeah. So Wino and I jammed at one of those parties, and we vowed we're going to do a band someday. So after a few years living in L.A., he gave me a call, and the bass player in his band, The Obsessed, was in a motorcycle accident. He was in a coma, and there was a tour coming up in Germany. I was trying to be the responsible husband, carrying on this career engineering at a studio, Jingle House. And my wife said, man, go for it. This is your dream. Touring, recording.
Tour.
Yeah. So we toured in Germany for 3 weeks, ended up in Berlin, and we knocked out this album, Lunar Womb, in 5 days, recorded and mixed.
Wow.
And that was my first production credit, and that was like a life changer. It got me into, you know, doing the band thing. And,
sure. And the other side of the microphone thing.
Yeah.
Bitch.
So.
And
then Caius came in after that.
Right. A little kind of internship with Wino.
Yeah. We toured together with Caius.
Because it was still called Obsessed. I've seen several versions of Obsessed.
Yeah.
And I think he had a French guy on bass later on.
Yeah, that after I left.
Okay.
He was our roadie in Europe.
Okay. Watch out for the roadies.
Looking
for your game.
Watch your back.
The helper, man. No, that's cool. He was there for the rescue. Was it time for you to leave anyway?
Yeah, things were kind of running its course. But these guys from Caius, they hit me up. Because
they had already got it going.
Yeah, I had turned them down a few months before.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they called me and said, well, we kicked out our bass player. Can you at least fill in for a couple of shows? And I said, oh, that'll be fun. They had the record release party for Blues for the Red Sun. They had a show opening for Ice-T and Body Count when the whole Cop Killer thing was going on. I was like, fuck yeah, man, this is going to be awesome. And after one day of rehearsing, I was like, I talked to my wife. I said, what do you think about moving back to the desert? And she's like, oh, man, I would love it.
Because that's where they were at.
Yeah. Yeah, so we picked up our roots again, moved back to the desert, and pretty much been there ever since.
Damn.
That was, what, 92.
So, yeah, a fair piece. Hmm.
Yeah.
You put your time in L.A., you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like you were a permanent hater.
Yeah, I was there for 5 years.
Close enough if you need it.
5 years solid working in that studio, you know.
We're there in the first hour, Brother Matt, July 22nd, 2015. Our guest, Scott Reeder, hold tight for hour two. July 22nd, 2015, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
She said that time has no meaning, and all the answers are never hard to find. I thought that nothing would ever come between us, but now there's a lesson that I'm living, maybe to end is to begin. I thought that nothing would ever come between us, but now we're here. And I'll tie it all up until I come down. And I'll do as I please, and don't you try and save me. I say I'll do as I please, and don't you try and save me. We'll be right back.
Watt from Pedro Show opened up the second hour with Wen, Scott Reeder. He just enlightened us the fact that as we become from last hour, is in his opinion, best thing?
I think so.
That you've done.
I wrote that for my wife on our 20th anniversary.
Oh, bitch.
I stuck that CD in a card and I left it on her pillow in the morning. And she was moved.
Wow, so it inspired to respect. Nowhere Road, the Kings of Lower Town out of...
Cool. Kings of Lower Town Rock.
Yeah, what town? Pembroke, I think. Up by Ottawa, Canada. Why spend the dark night with you? Hobo Combo. Pale Angels out of Wales doing Sinking Shadows. Labor Camp. Rag by Labor Camp. That's Kurt from Nip Drivers. Paul Rossler from Screamers. R. Stevie Moore. Play Myself Some Music. Toby Dammit, Modus Operandi. He did the last 2 years. I served with the Stooges.
Oh, nice.
On drummies. And Bandidos preaching to the choir. And finally, Scott Reeder with Day of Never Ending, which is from that.
Right on. That's Danny Carey on drums, by the way, in the beginning.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The name of the album is...
Tunnel Vision Brilliance.
Yeah. Tunnel Vision.
It's about being stoned and narrowing your senses down and just concentrating on one thing and making the right noise.
Right. Some focus.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the Caius Adventure?
Oh, man. That was a pretty... quick shift in gears from going, out with the Obsessed.
Right.
And then playing with Caius. Nirvana was blowing up at the same time that I joined Caius. And Dave Grohl was going to record stores along his, travels and buying every copy of our CD and giving it to people. And I think he led to the Danzig tour with Wet Zombie right after that. And we went out with Faith
Respect
No
for
More.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the flames.
Man. And then we went out with Faith No More and Babes in Toyland. And we thought we were done. And thanks to Dave again, we got a call from Metallica's people. We went to Australia, opening for Metallica. And it just kind of took off from there. I don't know if we would have gone much further if it hadn't been for that. I don't know. We went for another couple of years after that and started playing in Europe. Things started blowing up in Europe. I mean, it was getting really crazy. And I was so excited about the future. We'd just done some lo-fi recording in Joshua Tree that was the best stuff we'd ever done.
Yeah.
And we had tour coming up with Monster Magnet. And two of the guys called me into a meeting and said, we can't do this anymore. I'm like, what?
Game over.
Yeah, I thought everything was going great. They had a dispute about something, I guess. I still haven't heard a straight answer from either one of them. But
this is many years.
Yeah, this was in 95.
Yeah, so 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, one day they'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll be patient. But one thing I ain't patient for is the fucking spin cycle. Brother Matt, we got a special version.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to collaborate with Scott Reeder here. On the bass.
Itching. Very cool. We're going to start with little Mavis Staples because I'm going to see her tonight.
Hodges on drums.
Oh, right. Yeah, Rick Holstrom.
That's right, it's true.
Hodges on drums.
The guy on my first opera.
Yeah.
Long Beach Kid. Okay,
cool.
Take it away, brother man.
Here we go.
Man, we got a pocket full of love. He's a man.
your hopes and fears, curses, thinking, the art of releasing your hopes and fears, curses, thinking. hustling.
Barely.
Yeah, thank you.
What was behind your... What made you do what you did on your spin cycle there?
I was trying to capture some desert sounds after Mavis. I don't know how well I did, but...
I you did bitching. Incredible bitching. I love it. I was grooving.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So that was in the hot seat.
In the hot seat. But you know what? Stood and delivered.
Pulled it off, yeah.
Pocket rocket.
Never know what's coming.
Oh, man.
Damn, man. We're at the end of the second hour, July 22nd, 2015, the Shawaf Pedro Show. Scott Reeder, our special guest, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour three. July 22nd, 2015. It's the third hour. What Pedro Show.
Takes a long time to show me. Takes a long time to show what friendship was to you. But if you got time to show me, I'll be like a friend that you have known since birth. Oh,
got excited. He dug himself a hole. He tunneled to the river, to the verge of bathing pool. He got excited. He dug himself a hole with his stick. He dug himself a hole. Well, when he made it to the river, he ran into the snake. It bit him in the dick, and he had to take a moment just to realize what was happening. That it had bit him in the dick. A whole lot of people in the world today don't know what to think or say or do or be or who to be like or who not to be like. I like Coyote. I wanna be Coyote. Well, when Coyote got excited, he dug himself a hole. He tunneled to the river, to the virgin bay that pool. He got excited, he dug himself a hole with his stick. He dug himself a hole. But when he made it to the river, he ran into a snake. It bit him in the dick, and he had to take a moment just to realize what was happening. That it had bit him in the dick. A whole lot of people in the world today don't know what to think or say or do or be or who to be like or who not to be like. I like Coyote.
Pedro show to start off the third hour. Scott Reeder doing Fuck You All.
All right.
Yeah. What was the story behind that one? I kind
of
guessed.
I was just going through some shit. Yeah, each verse has like a different person or group. got it off of my chest. And it was like the label was saying, that could be the most commercial song on your record. Like, except for...
Except for the tag.
Yeah.
And then we had G.G. Allin and the Jabbers doing Don't Talk to Me. No. Dwarves were dead on the floor. Civilizazzi, parts 3 and 4 of Industrialization, Omega Point. Some live from Cosmodrome. Enemy of Gospel number 2 by the Orange Disaster. Dear Blanca, Showplace. They're out of Charleston. Still... Yeah, beef over that flag, right?
Yeah.
Let it go, man.
Talk about it.
And finally, Elliot Elderman with the Coyote. I got to play with my second man, XX, just to do 4 gigs. And Victoria Williams was at one of them.
Nice.
And that cat was on the bass. I knew him. He had some... I guess he's a desert guy, but he's a young guy.
Huh.
So maybe a new shift.
Yeah.
I think... Tori was saying she lives in the pad now. She's got these young guys living in the pad in front of her.
Huh. She's awesome.
She's going to be on the show next week.
Cool.
Lovely.
You got some desert rock.
Yeah.
Lovely human.
Yeah, yeah. And, that was it. Feedback. Okay, Post Caius, you did some Nebula with Eddie.
Yeah, did a few shows with those guys. Played in a band called UNITA for a little bit.
UNITA,
we were
right.
Signed with... American Recordings. We did some shows with you,
sure,
and Jay,
sure.
Maskus. Then I didn't do anything for a long time. Did a stint with this band called Butcher that was working in my studio, and their bass player left in the middle of the recording.
It's
got dragged into a couple of things kind of like that.
Okay.
And then these days, thanks to Dave Grohl again, he texted me one night. Like 1:30 in the morning, I'm like, who the fuck is texting me this late? It was Dave Grohl. He said that he got the console from Sound City. He was making a movie. Would I want to play on a song on the soundtrack? I texted him back, fuck, yes.
Is and this the one with the cheap trick guy?
Yeah. Yeah, so he
Slipknot.
He sent me the demo the next morning. I'm out feeding the horses, listening to on my phone, imagining bass lines to this thing. And
And within a week, I was in the studio. It was Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick on guitar, Corey Taylor from Slipknot on vocals, Dave, of course, on drums.
You know why it's a trip? Because that's the next song I got.
Rad. Perfect segue. So I was just, I couldn't believe it.
The one in Northridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheap Trick was my very first rock concert, and to play on a song with that guy was incredible. And then our song was the one that hit on radio. It went to number one on the rock charts. And then the Grammys, the album got a Grammy for best soundtrack or best companion soundtrack to a audiovisual film or whatever the title was. I just got the actual Grammy certificate in the mail a couple weeks ago.
Cool. Oh, wow, bitch.
And so because of that, the film's producer, Jim Rhoda, is the guitar player, singer of Fireball Ministry. And we kind of reconnected after all these years, and the first gig coming up for Fireball Ministry with me on board was a Motorhead cruise. We went on this thing last September. We're on a cruise ship with Motorhead, a bunch of metal bands, Anthrax, Danko Jones.
Danko, he's an old buddy.
Yeah, cool. We're going to do it again in a few weeks at the end of September.
Okay.
This time Suicidal Tendencies is on board. Exodus.
Where does it go?
It goes out of Miami and kind of goes around the Caribbean.
Trips, yeah. Here, let's see. This song's called Can.
From Can to Can't.
From Can to Can't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here. And it's just all you guys' names.
Yeah.
It wasn't a band name.
It was just the guys' names.
Right. Like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Yeah.
nothing. I know you're wrong. God, you took it all.
Thank you.
Last music for this edition, Corey Taylor, Dave Grohl, Rick Nielsen, Scott Reeder with From Can to Can. Then Popcorn from Lemon Limes of the Bay Area. Atomic Sherpas, that's Vince Moroni.
Yep.
Carnivorous Elevator. I think he's out at Garden Grove originally. Echo Park now. Wizard Sleeve by... No, that's the band. Excavate Heaven by Wizard Sleeve. Wizard Sleeve. Siobhan with Fulfill the Dream, and finally Completing the Geode by the Extract out of Canada. Edit, because it's too much of a vulgar. New band you're in with Tony from the Adolescents.
Yes. It's called Sun and Sail Club. It's with Bob Balch and the other Scott Reeder.
Right.
From Fu Manchu.
The imposter.
So we finally got both Scott Reeders together in the same band.
Yeah.
He's a killer drummer.
Yeah.
Killer. We put out another album about a year and a half ago, and it had all robot voices. It was all vocoder with Bob's guitar going through it. This time we got Tony from the Adolescents.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's more of a punk rock vibe. We've got two shows coming up.
He's a teacher, huh?
I think so.
I did a gig with him on Benefit in Chinatown, and Steve Soto. There was Frank. Was it Frank's son was playing with him?
Wow.
Yeah, like, the Meat Puppets. That's, you know, punk's kind of old when the boys are like playing with their dads.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's all right.
Yeah, I've only hung out with Tony one day. We did some press stuff, and
he's sweet.
We're gonna finally play live. The first show is at Cafe Nila on August 28th.
Okay.
With the Freaks.
Travis.
You might know the Freaks.
Yeah, because Bob Lee's on the fucking drums.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Hall on one of the guitars.
Yeah.
The other two guys, one guy was England, I think the bass man.
Tom Davies.
And
Ruben.
Seemed like the front man.
Ruben Romano from Fu Manchu.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I went on after him a couple weeks ago. I was trying to remember his face.
Yeah. They did a couple records recorded out at my place at the ranch.
I'm embarrassed. Yeah. How is it, like, fucking recording out on the ranch?
Yeah, it's chill. I just finished a project. Well, I finished tracking a project a couple of days ago with the Hellions from Palm Springs.
Yeah.
It's really mellow.
And then the school thing, this teaching thing, you're going to the Warwick Bass Camp?
Yeah, yeah. First week of September every year.
Yeah.
You've got to come out next year.
What town in Germany?
Mark Neukirchen, I think it's called. It's way out in the boonies. It's
okay.
Near the Czech border.
Oh, so it's like the south.
Like the closest big town is probably Prague. About a 4-hour
drive
from Frankfurt.
Bavaria, part of Germany.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have a base camp for the whole week.
Yeah.
And then they have all these VIPs that fly out for the end of it. They've got like 100 guys coming out this year. Chuck Rainey from...
Yeah, Bad Bit on the Steve Gann album.
Yeah, Jerry Jamont was out last year.
Chuck Rainey, Jesus. 16th notes, huh?
Victor Wooten's usually there.
That guy's a
huge it's insane.
Monster,
so every night, you know, we have dinner after the classes, and then there are jam sessions.
Also, guys who play Warwick basses.
Not really.
Yeah, because I don't think Chuck does.
No, and Vic plays Federa, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just about bringing the bass community together.
Okay.
And vibing and sharing ideas
and
jamming.
Yeah, not being so merged, just getting a bass together.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's beautiful.
It's the party of the year.
What are the student people like?
Can
you show me how to play this song, or what do they ask?
Well, there's professors that come in, everybody from Dave Ellison from Megadeth.
Yeah, I met him. Sweet guy.
Last year they had Kevin Brandon, who's played with everybody from Rihanna
to
Aretha Franklin. There's this guy, Andy Irvine, that's kind of like the spokesperson for Warwick, who's actually played in G.G. Allen's band.
Yeah, because his brother played Merrill, the Murder Chuckies.
Yeah.
So
there's probably like 10 professors, I think.
Okay. But I'm wondering about the students.
They're from all over the place.
They're just eating it up?
I met people from England, Australia, Germany.
Yeah.
And there's about 250.
Do they already know how to play and they want to get better, or are they just starting out?
Some of them are really great.
And they
like,
just want to
They'll get
stuff.
Up on stage and jam, and you're just like, they should be a professor, you know. there's a lot of beginners. It's like every level. They just want to learn.
Sure, sure.
So I go a few days early, and I sit in on every class that I can. Lee Sklar's going to be there this year.
That's a sesh guy.
Yeah.
It's been about 10 billion records.
Yeah.
So beer, too.
Yeah. So we just hang out, and there's jam sessions after dinner, and there's like a full-on club on the campus at the Warwick headquarters. And, you know, there's a full bar. every kind of bass you could imagine on one wall, every kind of amp you could imagine on the other wall. Some guitar players show up. Last year they had Phil X from, I guess he's in Bon Jovi's band.
Sure.
Now. Stevie Salas.
Yeah, we need those guys. We look good making them look good. Look, if somebody, yeah, getting into this racket music thing, what advice would you give
him?
Or her?
Just wait around for Dave Grohl to call. No, I don't know. I kind of fell out of it for like 10 years. I've tried to just stay adaptable. I mean, I've been doing the studio thing forever. We bought the ranch.
You never had a young person come up to you, hey, can you tell me anything?
I don't know what to tell them. I mean, if you love doing it, go for it.
But that's good advice.
Just don't let anybody, okay, don't tell anybody, like, don't take anybody's advice not to do it. Like, my mom's boyfriend when I was a kid, he saw one of my first bands, Dead Issue, play, and he said it was horrible and I should stick to the trombone. And, you know, thank God I didn't listen to that guy.
Yeah.
You know, don't listen to anybody. Just follow your heart. And
I think that's bitching. Make it happen. That's invaluable. Scott, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's an honor.
Very cool.
Huge honor.
Pitching guest, bass brother, Scott Reeder.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Man.
And that advice from the heart, it means a lot.
Right on.
It's been a July 22nd, 2015 edition of Watt for Peter Show. Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aiding and abetting.
Certainly.
Scott Reeder, thank you for making that hell ride for your first time.
Thank you for being one of the biggest inspirations of my life.
Oh, Scott.
On the bass. It's an honor to be here.
And we'll put you in a time zone. Maybe it'll be easy to get back to the desert. But I got to come out there.
Hell yeah.
And I want to check out this camp, too.
Yeah, we're pretty close to the freeway.
Yeah, and I ate at a restaurant the other day, Russo's. I told him I was in Banning on Saturday.
Yeah.
I ate an Italian place. He said, was that Russo's? Yeah.
Yeah, we go there all
the time. Okay, I'll go there and chow off. It's been the July 22nd, 2015 edition of the Pedro Show, people. You're bothered, right?
Yeah. Cheers.